Le damos gracias al Señor por poder alabar al Señor. Carlita, ahí también. Te bendiga, brother. Adiós. Hermanito, gracias al Señor que ya estamos aquí. Y hoy vamos a continuar con el estudio en el libro de los Hebreos, Hebrews, chapter 2. Okay? We began yet a last time, okay, through chapter 1. Brother James was conducted the Bible study last week. Y en esa semana, pues aprendimos, gloria a Dios, acerca, bendito sea el Señor, de la preeminencia del Hijo, ¿verdad? Vamos a ver que el Hijo de Dios tenía un rol bien importante, tan importante que si no está el Hijo de Dios, las cosas no suceden. Amén. En esta noche vamos a ver la preeminencia del Hijo de Dios. Gloria sea el Señor. Como le dije, vamos a estar en Hebreos capítulo 2 y el título, Jesús provee gran salvación. Jesus provides great salvation. And as we go through the Bible study, you will learn and confirm that it's not only a great salvation, it's the only salvation. Okay? Amén por dar. Muchas gracias, Señor. Sabemos que eso va a ser cierto a través de la Escritura. Así que usted no va a tener que tomarnos la palabra por eso, usted la va a poder ver en la palabra del Señor. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. Okay? The whole chapter will be the basis for today's Bible study. Hay un montón de material, okay? El material es bien extenso. There is a lot of material because it is very important that we detail as much as we can. I will go quite fast over it, but in case you don't get something, you need to clarify something, let me know, okay? Así que, the key verse, el versículo clave de esta lección es Hebreos 2:1, amén, que quiero que leamos. Dice, por tanto, es necesario que con más diligencia atendamos a las cosas que hemos oído, no sea que nos deslicemos, amén. En inglés dice, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, ¿verdad? Lest at any time we should let them slip. ¿Okay? Y a través de esto vamos a ver que hay varias palabras clave. Palabra clave, diligencia. ¿Recuerdan el sermón del domingo? Hablamos de diligencia, ¿okay? Earnest heed, or diligence. Okay, you need to be paying attention and giving priority to very specific things that the Bible will let us know throughout this Bible study. And another key word is slip. Okay? Slip meaning deslizarse. When you fall down, but in this case, it's that type of falling down that you like, you see that you are falling down and you fall down like in slow motion. You slip away, and you can say you can sleep away too, okay? So that focus is what we will see in the scripture today. Eso lo vamos a ver la escritura, en el nombre del Señor hoy, amén. Así que la verdad central, lo que vamos a estar viendo hoy, es que no hay nada más importante que la salvación por medio de Cristo. En esta vida, si usted no se salva por medio de la fe en Cristo, cuando usted termine esta vida y vaya allá, va a estar perdido. Lost forever. Si usted no cree y confiesa a Cristo como Salvador. ¿Okay? Y es necesario que usted se ocupe. Después que usted sea salvo por Cristo, usted tiene que ocuparse en esa salvación. ¿Qué quiere decir? Que después que usted es salvo, usted tiene un trabajo que hacer. Once you're saved, through faith in Jesus, there is plenty of work for you to do. ¿Okay? Y estos son los dos enfoques que nosotros vamos a tener aquí hoy. Amén. No olvide con la foto, ¿verdad? ¿Se acuerda la foto? This is an amateur photo. Okay? One of my friends at work snapped a photo there. It looks like a textbook photo of water lilies. Okay? Metas de aprendizaje. Que el alumno demuestre primero, mire, ¿qué queremos tener hoy como meta? Que usted conozca la exhortación que nos hace la palabra del Señor, ¿okay? El pedido que nos hace la palabra del Señor, ¿ok? A través de Pablo, o quien sea el hermanito que haya escrito Hebreos, ¿verdad? Para asegurar de que usted es salvo, Usted tiene que hoy, cuando usted se vaya por esa puerta, usted tiene que estar bien seguro de que usted es salvo. ¿Salvo de qué? Salvo del pecado y salvo de la consecuencia del pecado, que es la muerte eterna. When you go out the door today, you need to be sure that you're saved. Porque si no, entonces nos entretuvimos aquí un ratito. Importante que usted vaya y usted diga, no, yo sé de Cristo y yo conozco la Biblia y los hermanitos me caen bien y son buena gente y hace un fresquito bueno aquí, afuera hace calor. Esas son cosas, ¿verdad?, superfluas, accesoriales. Usted tiene que estar seguro que usted está salvo en Cristo. Amén. Y después que usted está salvo, once you're saved, you need to determine which areas of your life you need to focus to serve Jesus. ¿Okay? Hay que ocuparse en esa salvación que Cristo nos dio. Amén. Este es el enfoque que vamos a ver. En esta porción, yo voy a ir bien rápido porque esta ya el hermano James lo había cubierto. El propósito del libro de los Hebreos. Amén. Como el título dice, Hebreos fue destinado a los Hebreos, ¿verdad? Ahí no hay mucho misterio. Y los Hebreos, nosotros le llamamos judíos, the Hebrews. This letter was directed to the Hebrews, to the Jews. Commonly called Jews. And in doing so, most of the terms you're going to see are Jewish in background and refer to the rites and to the festivities that relate to the Jewish way of life, which were ordained, okay, in the Old Testament. Okay? All those things have a main purpose, as we have seen when we studied all the Jews, the festivities, all the seven different ones they have, all of them pointed to Jesus. The same purpose they had for the law. The law was pointing to the fact that when you proved, unfit to comply with the law, that demonstrated that you needed someone to help you out. Right? And that one was Jesus. That was the purpose of the law, all in one sentence. Así que el propósito de los Hebreos es este, decirle a los judíos, ustedes tienen su ley, ustedes tenían sus sacerdotes, ustedes tenían su sistema, pero nada de eso los iba a llevar a la salvación. Ahora, lo que cumple toda esa ley es Cristo Jesús. Y los Hebreos iban a preguntar, ¿who is this Jesus? ¿Quién es Cristo? Okay. For most of the Jews, they were seeing Jesus as if he were a simple man. Y tenían un problema, they had a problem with that. Okay? Because they understood from the scriptures that the Messiah wouldn't necessarily be a common man. Okay? And as a matter of fact, he wasn't. But all that they were seeing was a common man. And they had a problem, we'll see it in today's chapter 2 story, that they knew that the law they had was given today to them by angels. Okay, we'll see that through the scriptures. But now, it was being claimed by the Christians that the new law was being given by a man. So they say, angels are better than men. So why should this new law given by a man should be better than one given by angels? Okay? And it was a problem that probably wouldn't relate to Puerto Ricans or Americans for that matter. It would relate mostly to the Jews because they were the ones that were brought up in this system. But it relates to us too because we can easily substitute angels for anything we like. Okay? And there are a lot of authorities and a lot of laws and customs and manners and whatnot that they were not given by angels. And we can say that they were given by somebody else worse than angels. Okay? And they can easily substitute whatever law we may have or have not. And it is very easy for something to make up the basis of our life, and it will lead us to damnation. Only thing that will lead us to eternal life is a life of faith in Jesus. Y esto es lo que el libro de los Hebreos nos va a explicar. Amén. Y ya el maestro James había escrito sobre esto. Si usted quiere leerlo en el website, ya desde mañana va a estar puesto ahí. ¿Okay? The outline, we're going to divide it in four sections. La primera, exhortación necesaria. Primer verso, usted va a ver que hay unas advertencias. debido a esta exhortación. Tercero, vamos a ver quién es el autor de la salvación. ¿Verdad? Como si ya usted no lo hubiera adelantado. Amén. Y en la última porción vamos a ver qué ventajas y qué bendiciones nosotros tenemos por estar en Cristo. Amén. Vamos a clarificar unas cuantas cosas que se dicen mucho en Puerto Rico, pero que no son ciertas. ¿Okay? We'll clarify that. So, para ir empezando con las preguntas. ¿Cuál es el gran problema de la humanidad? Which is the biggest problem of humanity? ¿Ah? Enemistad con Dios. Separación de Dios. We are here and we are not at peace with the Creator, right? And that is a simple description, but what is the consequence of that? What is the consequence of that biggest problem we have? ¿Cuál es la consecuencia del problema? La ofensión.
Que la Biblia dice en Romanos 6:23 que la paga del pecado es muerte.
Exacto. La Biblia dice la paga del pecado es muerte. La paga. Amén. The wages of sin is death. Right? That is the problem. Y esa era la contestación a esta siguiente pregunta, ¿verdad? Ahora bien, ¿cuál es la única solución a ese problema? Fíjense que yo digo, la única bien la única. Porque todo el mundo por ahí, usted le pregunta a alguien por ahí, le dice, ¿cómo yo soluciono el problema de yo vivir una vida de pecado y de estar ofendiendo a Dios? ¿Cómo yo evito la consecuencia del pecado? Okay, how can I solve this problem? Probably someone will tell you, all you need to do is to behave. Right? And that can be a surefire answer you can get in Puerto Rico, right? Because of the Roman Catholic tradition we have. Okay? They will let you know. Once you go over the sacraments, and believe me, I know what I'm talking about because I studied that myself as a kid. You go over the sacraments and you behave, okay? And after a period of trial in purgatory, we'll see. You will most likely, you will make it. Okay? If you have behaved here on earth. Okay? How much assurance is in that? Zero. Okay? And if you go to other religions, okay, which were invented by man, you can get pretty much the same answer. Okay? And it so becomes that when you go to the Bible, it tells you that the only solution to the problem of you being at odds with the Lord is to confess your sins and accept salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There's no other way around. Okay? And it can be that they can try to beautify and to go and to soften it all a little bit, but there is no way around it. If you are not in Jesus, there's nothing. Okay? You're still in sin, and you're still in danger of eternal damnation. Okay? Por tanto, now, this is not the message that you get most of the time in most of the churches. And I need to say that. Okay? Because people are scared or offended or both at the same time because of this message. But if we don't preach this message, we are not preaching the Bible. And it is very clear that everybody needs to understand this. Okay? Vamos. Así que, vamos a ir a la primera porción, the first verse, okay? Of Hebrews chapter 2. Okay? Esta porción dice, como este es el verso clave, this is the key verse. Okay? Por tanto, es necesario que con más diligencia atendamos a las cosas que hemos oído, no sea que nos deslicemos. Amén. Vamos a describir unas palabras aquí, porque hay unas palabras que son de martes por la noche, ¿verdad? Un poquito más especiales. Diligencia. A veces uno menciona diligencia y piensa que son las que tiene cuatro caballos al frente y alguien dándole así, como en la película de vaquero. No es esa diligencia, a pesar de que ese nombre viene de eso mismo, ¿verdad? Diligencia, ¿ok? De correr. Diligencia. En griego, Greek, perisóteros, ¿ok? Que lo que quiere decir es, con más diligencia entendamos, literalmente, dar atención abundantemente. Like, pay close attention. Give it all the attention you have. Okay? Don't get distracted on this one. That's what it's literally trying to say. Okay? Diligencia. So there is no option. Pay attention to this. Okay? This is the only thing and the only way out. Y la otra palabra, no sea que nos deslicemos, like we slip away. Okay? Palabra, ¿verdad? Lo que quiere decir es fluir deslizándose. When you have, you see like an avalanche, okay, it starts slowly. Okay? Y la impresión que da aquí, okay, en estas palabras, por eso es que deslicemos como que no lo explica todo. La impresión que da aquí es que es como la avalancha, es la que es una avalancha. Once it starts, it doesn't stop. Okay? And it has that connotation, this Greek word. Okay? It doesn't mean that it starts and stops. Once it starts slowly, it will only get to the final stage where it ends. And the final stage in this context is that you are completely off track. The road of salvation. And that is a big problem that the writer here is talking about. Okay? Así que, en Hebreos 2.1, en este verso lo que quiere decir es que se desliza, okay, pasando de largo. Como cuando you just pass by, you slip by, okay, sin prestar atención, without giving any attention. Okay? Y eso es lo que estaba diciendo ahí. Está diciendo, hay una salvación, que es el contexto de lo que usted va a ver ahora. Hay una salvación que es la única salvación. Lo más grande es lo que tú estabas esperando. Pero si estás en lesbado, you're not paying attention, you blink your eyes, you'll pass it. Without knowing, and then you have no chance. Okay, si tú dices esta salvación, I don't want this salvation, I will try at the next stop. We'll see what happens. Y si eso es así, eso es lo que está queriendo decir el escritor aquí. David, ¿te iba a decir algo?
Hace poco te había enseñado en un slide que enseñaban al hombre montado en el barquito tocando el banjo. Sí. Yo estaba leyendo acerca de esa palabra y dice que también se usaba antes cuando las personas, los pescadores, tenían sus embarcaciones y se le olvidaba anclarla. Dice que el barco se iba con la corriente.
A la deriva.
Sí. A la deriva. Entonces, esa ilustración que yo tenía antes, de que la persona estaba ahí tocando,
sí,
sin estar anclado, se iba a la deriva sin darse cuenta.
Yeah.
Por no estar pendiente.
Exacto. David was referring to an illustration, a drawing I had used in one of the previous messages, that showed a man in a canoe with a banjo. And he was going with the flow, and the flow up front had like rapids and a waterfall, but he didn't know that. And the text below it read, what do you need to do to backslide? And the answer was, nothing. You don't need to do anything to backslide. That's what he was referring to the word, to the use of this word, deslicemos, okay? Slip. Okay, you don't need to do anything. But all of a sudden you realize that you are going down the waterfall. Okay? Ese es el problema. ¿Amén? ¿Y es serio? ¿Y usted ha tratado de subir por una cascada hacia arriba? Okay, nobody has been able to make it, okay? Así que, ¿qué pasaba con estos hebreos? All the Hebrews in the general audience were not paying the necessary attention to the one that came from them first. Okay, and because they didn't want it, is that it came to us. Okay? That was what John chapter 1 actually tells us, right? And this writer wanted to make sure that they understood the message of salvation from the context of their own religion and their own system. And this is why he's talking to them, okay, about paying attention to the good news of the gospel and not to traditions or ideas. Okay? And now, we as Puerto Ricans, we have a whole bunch of traditions too. The bad thing with traditions is that you don't realize you have a huge quantity of them. Because they are part of your life and the way you were brought up, right? So it needs someone from the outside to tell you about those most of the time. And this is what the writer was doing to the Hebrews through this letter, okay? Ahora bien, resumiendo este primer verso, que es bien breve, bien clave, nos está diciendo, esté pendiente, porque si no, te vas a deslizar. ¿Te vas a deslizar en qué? We'll see that, from verse 2 and on, okay? Pero, si resumimos este primer verso, ¿cuál es la primera recomendación que se nos hace ahí? What is the first request that is made to us? To a tener más diligencia. En inglés, in the King James, it reads more earnest giving, right? You need to be diligent and to pay attention and to give priority to what needs priority, right? Esta es la primera recomendación. Hermano, te dirá, pastor, pero todo eso hace sentido, eso lo sabe cualquiera. ¿Quién no sabe que las cosas del Señor hay que tenerlas en prioridad? Casi nadie, hermano. Casi nadie. Most people consider what they call religion, what they call the Bible, what they call Jesus, or they mention Jesus without knowing him. They consider that to be like an optional association. Okay? If they have the time, they consider reading the Bible. If they have the time, they come and worship at church. If they have the time, okay, they may consider joining a ministry. If they have the time. It's always if, as if there were things more important than this. That is what the writer has in mind. Okay? Now, why? Why is it that he's requesting them about that? ¿Por qué? ¿Ah? Para que no se deslice. No te vayas a caer. ¿Por qué te vas a caer? Porque si tú dejas pasar esa oportunidad de salvación en Cristo, la vas a ver ahora. You let that opportunity pass by, that salvation opportunity, there is nothing else. Okay? There is no other salvation. There is no other way. Okay? We'll see that through the chapter as we go on. Okay? Ahora bien, ¿por qué son vitales las reglas del camino de la salvación? Te dirá, ¿qué reglas, pastor? We'll see about those rules of the way of salvation. It is not, I am not talking about salvation by works. I'm talking about those details that you need to pay attention once you're saved. Okay? Why are they important? David. Exacto. Because once you get saved, then others depend on you to hear the gospel. And not only to hear you talking the gospel, to hear you or to see you living the gospel. Okay? Which is ever so important. Okay? A lot of people talk about Jesus. A lot of people talk about church. A lot of people talk about good things. Okay? I know my mother says that some people speak beautifully. So you say, hablan lindo, like in beauty, it almost sounds like poetry about Jesus, but they don't do anything about it, right? It's one thing to talk beautifully, and it's another thing to act and to live beautifully in the name of the Lord, okay? This is what this chapter is talking about, okay? We'll see that as we go on. Así que, en la próxima porción, versos 2 al 4, okay, vamos a ver que hay una advertencia, ¿ok? Que Dios nos hace y que Dios las cumple, ¿ok? Have you seen spoiled kids? I'm not asking if you have any, but have you seen those spoiled kids? What is the problem or what is the cause of spoiled kids? Most of the time is that the parents, All that they say is, I'm going to spank you. If you continue, if you go on, I'm going to spank you. And that's all they do. They offer, but they don't comply. But this is different here, okay? God is offering, and He will comply. Okay? Y eso es lo que nos está diciendo aquí en estos versos, versos 2 al 4. This illustration here is from the los hijos de Coré, Korah, right, in the Old Testament, when they offered strange fire. Do you recall that? Okay. Fuego extraño, o sea, un momento que Dios no le pidió, en la forma que Dios no le pidió, como a ellos le pareció, violando todas las instrucciones. Okay. Paying no attention to the instructions and the details that God had ordained. And they did so, they thought they were doing the great thing, but actually they were punished. Dios lo había dicho, el que ofrezca fuego extraño será consumido en mi presencia. Anyone that would go and trespass, all these heathens, okay, will be I don't know the translation in English, huh? Consumed or not consumed, like torn out or cut off, I will be, okay? Banished, okay? And that is what happened here. Okay. Bien importante. Importante que seamos bien atentos a lo que la palabra del Señor nos dice. Esto es como una anticipación, hermanito. Fueron consumidos por fuego. El que no preste atención a la salvación por Cristo, salve por la fe en Cristo, ¿qué es lo que le espera? The lake of fire, right? El lago de fuego. La gente no le gusta escuchar eso, pero en la palabra de Dios está. ¿Eh? Hay personas que dicen, that is so severe. I don't think that God will do that. And they keep on thinking about it. Okay? Well, you don't need to think. You need to know that God will comply with that promise. Okay? But that is not the main plan He has for you. Okay? So don't be scared. The main plan He has for you is salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay? Eso es lo más importante. Así que, como dice un predicador por ahí, no se ponga triste, sonríase. Que Cristo le ama. Okay, gloria sea al Señor. Así que versos 2 al 4, algún voluntario que lo lea. Versos 2 through 4. Mami, ¿cómo dice?
Porque si la palabra dicha por medio de los ángeles fue firme, y toda transgresión y desobediencia recibió justa retribución, ¿cómo escaparemos nosotros si descuidamos una salvación tan grande, la cual, habiendo sido anunciada primeramente por el Señor, nos fue confirmada por los que oyeron, testificando Dios juntamente con ellos, con señales y prodigios y diversos milagros y repartimientos del Espíritu Santo según su voluntad?
Amén. ¿Okay? Ahora, él hace la advertencia primero. Okay, he gives the warning first, and then explains what is it that he's warning us about. Okay, y eso es lo que está haciendo en los versos 2 al 4. ¿Acerca de qué nos está advirtiendo? Dice primero, porque si la palabra dicha por medio de los ángeles, la palabra anterior que había dado en el Antiguo Testamento, in the Old Testament, right? He was speaking through angels, right? The law was given by angels. We'll see the reference soon enough. Dice, y toda transgresión y desobediencia recibió justa retribución, okay? And every transgression was duly punished, okay? That is the history, that is the track record, okay? How is it that we think we will escape if we don't pay attention to the salvation that is being put in front of us? That is what he's saying, okay? Dice, si los que estuvieron antes no escaparon, pues ¿cómo vamos a pensar que alguien hoy, si desatiende el llamado a salvación que hace el Señor a través de Cristo, cómo piensa que podrá escapar? Eso es lo que está argumentando el escritor de los Hebreos. Amén. Y el verso 4 nos dice, no hay ninguna excusa. ¿Ok? Porque todas aquellas palabras, all those old words, were confirmed by miracles, by signs, okay, by hard evidence. This same thing we have now in Jesus. ¿Ok? Y eso es lo que él está diciendo en esta porción. Palabras clave, hay tres palabras por lo menos bien importantes. Transgresión, vamos a ver lo que es transgresión, que es retribución. Esta palabra retribución es como la paga del pecado es muerte, right? The wages of sin is death. So wages, this is wages, retribución, recompensa. Y la otra palabra es descuidamos. Es importante que entendamos esas palabras, ¿verdad? Usted las puede ver con calma después en su Biblia, si lo desea, transgresión. Amén. Palabra parabasis dice, relacionado con primariamente ir a un lado luego de sobrepasar algo. O sea, cuando usted dice, usted hace así, de momento usted ve que esto está puesto aquí, ¿verdad? Y usted dice, pues yo voy a coger por este lado. ¿Sí? Está puesto aquí y dice, oh, I'm gonna go this way. You go around it. Okay, that is what translation is. ¿Qué quiere decir? Hablando de una ley. Dice, hay una ley ahí. There is a law that is written. I'm gonna put my effort into it and find a way to go around it. Eso es lo que es transgresión. ¿Qué? Transgression. So it's not like, oh, I broke the law by chance. That is not the case. It is something that you did on purpose. Okay, you found a way, so you thought, of going around the law. Okay? Y por eso que dice aquí, que habla siempre del quebrantamiento de una ley. Okay? Está hablando de la ley anterior. Retribución, la otra palabra, si recuerda, que literalmente quiere decir garaldón, es el premio, the prize. Right? Se traduce como recompensa o retribución, ¿verdad? En hebreo, lo que quiere decir recompensa. Cuando la Biblia dice la paga del pecado, no es que el pecado da un sueldo, es que la paga es, o sea, lo que te deja el pecado, a lo que te lleva, el premio del pecado, se le puede llamar así. El resultado, el desenlace es la muerte. There, right? Sí. Yeah.
El concepto de transgresión también a veces.
Exacto. Yeah, so James is clarifying that transgression could also mean being above or thinking that one or someone is above the law. Right? And someone that is thinks that is above the law implies that he knows the law or decides that he's greater than that. Okay? And he's not abiding by it. Ese es el problema aquí grande. Así que, la otra palabra, la otra tercera palabra era descuidarnos, ¿ok? Y esto viene de la raíz de ser negligente. ¿Sabes lo que es ser negligente? Es negligence. You are not paying attention, you are not being a good administrator, ¿ok? Of what has been given to you. No cuidarse, andar, mire, por ahí, a lo loco, ¿ok? Eso es como... ¿Ustedes saben lo que es jaywalking? You know what jaywalking is? Like, you go in a highway, four lanes this way and four lanes that way, like in road number 22, going to San Juan, and you close your eyes, and you begin jaywalking right there. Okay? What is that? Descuidarse, right? Negligence. Okay? Eso es lo que está pasando aquí. Así que, por eso es que habla en otros contextos de la Escritura. A Timoteo, 1 Timothy 4:14, Pablo le dice a Timoteo, no descuides el don de Dios que hay en ti. ¿Okay? The gift of God that is in you. ¿Okay? Eso es lo que Pablo le dice a Timoteo. No lo descuides. ¿Okay? No dejes que se vaya. ¿Bien? En algunas porciones habla de menospreciar. O sea, dice, oh, I don't care about this. Like when Esaú. ¿Okay? ¿Cómo se dice Esaú? No me acuerdo bien. Esaú. Esaú. ¿Ah? Esaú. The brother of Jacob. No, the brother of Jacob.
Esau.
Esau. Ok. I know how to pronounce it in Spanish, but no, I was not sure about in English. Ok. Esau. Esau was, you know, menospreciando. He was not, you know, giving the due importance to what he had. Okay? La primogenitura, right? The right of the firstborn, right? He says, I don't care about that. Give me that too, and I will gladly give it to you. Okay? Eso es menospreciar. They're not paying attention. I don't care about this. Take it away. Okay? About, it's talking about salvation, right? Let's not forget that. Así que, como les estaba diciendo antes, ¿por qué menciona el escritor esto aquí? Aparte de que Dios dictó estas palabras. Es que algunos lectores, some readers of these letters, were very concerned that the Jewish law would have been given by angels, right? I was talking about that in the beginning, right? But now, they were being told that the good news of the gospel, okay, the new covenant, was being announced by men, simple men. Okay? First by Jesus and then by the apostles. They had a problem with them. Okay? Y para confirmar a través de la escritura, por ejemplo, Deuteronomio 33:2, okay, vemos uno si alguien lo quiere buscar. Salmo 68:17, abrir más. Y vamos a buscar Hechos 7:53. ¿Alguien más que quiera buscar Hechos 7:53? Okay. Vamos a leer eso. We see there some evidences among lots of them, okay, about the law being given by angels, right? Okay. And we say angels, messengers of God, okay, that they brought that law, okay. The Jews knew that, so they said the law, it was given by God, but it was brought to us through angels, right? So they said angels must be pretty important because they were being used as communicators of that law, right? So Deuteronomy 33 verse 2, como decía, ¿quién tenía? David, ¿cómo dice? Ajá. ¿Sí? Ahí está hablando de esos 10.000 millares de santos. Está hablando del grupo de los ángeles, ¿verdad? From all that host of angels, actually, somebody stepped out with the law. And it's not talking about the Ten Commandments, okay? Because we usually think that the law is restricted to the Ten Commandments. Actually, it's talking about the whole law. The different portions of the law, beyond the Ten Commandments, all the details, are the ones that have been referred to in this verse. Okay? Salmo 68, Psalm 68, verse 17. Sorry, man. Todos esos decenas de millares que hablan del ejército de los cielos, okay? Y todos esos diferentes ángeles fueron usados, ¿verdad? Para venir, dice el santuario, para venir a la presencia de los hombres trayendo un mensaje de parte de Dios. You remember the angels that came to Abraham to give him a message, okay, about the promise and the covenant that God had made with them to confirm it. You recall that? Angels were bringing out God's word to Abraham. And at that same time, they told him, okay, and they spoke about what would be happening to Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? Okay? So, ellos estaban viniendo a hablar de parte de Dios. Angels were being used as messengers, okay? Y Hechos 7:53. Yo no tenía claro. It's talking about talking to the Jews. If you received the law from the angels, but you didn't keep it. Okay? Está hablando lo mismo. That was what was in the mind of every Jew. Okay? Not that they didn't keep it, but that they did receive it. They had indeed received it from ellos. Okay? Así que, eso es lo que ellos estaban creyendo en ese entonces. Pero, aquí dice, ¿verdad? Que ese evangelio que estaban predicando, no solamente el que escribe Hebreos, sino los apóstoles, y aún el mismo Jesús, era un evangelio que estaba siendo predicado por hombres. ¿Qué? Así que ángeles, angels, versus the new gospel being preached by men. So, the writer needed to make a clarification about this is no simple man we're talking about. Jesus was no simple man. Okay? And he was much more than a man. Gracias, David. Así. Está buena aquí, vamos a ver. Ok, bien importante que nosotros entendamos por qué es que lo está haciendo. Nosotros siendo puertorriqueños, okay, o siendo de acá de América, pues no tenemos ese background, pero el que es hebreo oía esto y decía, mira, este está argumentando esto que está aquí. Let me put some attention to this and find out. That was what the Jew would actually do. Okay? Between angels and men. Okay? Así que el escritor lo que quiere es exhortar a las personas a ser salvos por Cristo. A pesar de que Cristo ellos lo hubieran visto o hubieran oído de él como si fuera un solo hombre, como un hombre sencillo, ¿okay? Un simple hombre. Pero él va a proceder a clarificar quién era Jesús. ¿Okay? So he's making the point about the gospel was announced by Jesus and his followers. But now he will begin clarifying who was Jesus. Okay? Y eso es lo que va a ser importante. Por eso es que él dice, pay attention to what I'm about to say. Okay? Dice, no deslice, don't sleep. Okay? Pay attention to this. Okay? Por eso es que él lo decía de esa forma. Ahora bien, fíjese que el verso 3, verse 3, actually reads, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Okay. En Puerto Rico dicen, mira cómo dice ese verso, muchas congregaciones dicen, mira lo que dice ese verso. Ese verso lo que dice ahí es que si tú te lemas la salvación te pierdes. Eso no es lo que está diciendo. Okay. Most people in Puerto Rico believe that if you are saved and you neglect, okay, or don't pay the due diligence to the salvation, you can actually be lost forever again. Okay, you lose your salvation. Okay, and that is the big mainstay doctrine in most evangelical churches in Puerto Rico. And it is not a biblical doctrine. It's something that just came out, okay, out of those circles, and it's been preached for many, many years. Okay, a lot of people, even in Baptist churches, actually believe that too, or at least are not true, or are not sure about it, whether or not. Because, why? Why is it? Because they don't learn and they don't know the scriptures, right? Exactly, that is the problem. You need to study the scriptures, right? And for those that don't study the scriptures, they just read through it, browse through it, but they don't apply due diligence to actually studying it. It's very easy for them to believe that if you don't behave, I mean, doing good works, you can actually lose your salvation. That is not what verse 3 is saying. Okay? Sí.
He's referring to the quotation of Deuteronomy 32:35. Okay? And it has pretty much the same connotation as we are seeing. Okay? It's actually making a warning about what will come, that it will come for sure. Okay? Y eso es lo que está pasando aquí. It's the same topic, same, I would say, ambient, same conversation, okay? That he's making here about that warning that you shouldn't sleep and let that salvation pass by, okay? Mire, en Puerto Rico, algunos enseñan que se puede perder la salvación. I remember that aquí, okay? A lot of people telling me, tú, ¿estás seguro de tu salvación? Y dice, sí, estoy bien seguro de mi salvación. No, ¿por qué no? Eso no es así. ¿Sabes? ¿Por qué no? Porque si tú no mantienes la salvación, if you don't maintain your salvation, you lose it. I say, well, why is that? I don't see that in scripture. Y ellos buscaban y hacían extracting verses out of the context to make a pretext. Okay, right there, they gave it to you. Okay, y decía, no, pero eso no es lo que enseña la Biblia. Okay. Y básicamente lo que están diciendo es que si tú estás salvo, if you are saved now, and you can lose that salvation because you are not doing or either the good works that you need to do or the necessary quantity of good works, it means that there is salvation by works, right? Because if you need to maintain it by good works, then it's not God's salvation, it's your salvation. Right. Es tu forma, your way. Y la Biblia dice que solamente hay una forma de salvarse, a través de la fe en Cristo Jesús.
Salvation through faith, that is the only way. Faith in Jesus, right?
Así que eso es salvación por obras. Hay otros que no lo confunden tanto y te lo dicen directo. ¿Ves? La salvación depende de las obras que realiza la persona, que es lo mismo. ¿Qué religión estábamos estudiando hace poco que era así? We were studying a doctrine a few months ago about that. Seventh-day Adventism, right? They teach that, you get saved through Jesus. Okay? But what faith in Jesus actually enables you is to do good works. So by having faith in Jesus, it enables you to do good works, which are the ones that save you. What is that? Mixed up. Salvation through works disguised as salvation by grace. And we explained that very clearly when we studied that, right?
You go to the Roman Catholic Church, they say, ¿quién es el Salvador del mundo? Dicen, Jesucristo es el Salvador. ¿Y cómo se salva? Por la fe en Cristo.
Pero, te dicen rápido, pero, no te confundas.
But, and that's the problem, but, tienes que hacer tantas penitencias, tienes que hacer los sacramentos, tienes que hacer todo esto, y tienes que hacerle caso a los que están montados allá arriba, que ellos son los que te dictan cosas que no están en la Escritura. They teach you things that are not in Scripture. Y yo siempre he dicho, who are you going to believe? Somebody that talks beyond the Scripture or those who talk out of the Scripture? Y ese es el problema en Puerto Rico. Hay unos evangélicos que te enseñan salvación por obra y hay unos católicos que te enseñan salvación por obra también. Entonces te dicen, ¿cuál de las dos es? Ninguna. Es la salvación por la fe en Cristo Jesús. Es bien sencillo. ¿Ok? Así que la salvación es por la fe en Jesús. Fe en Jesús. Faith in Jesus. ¿Ok? And it is eternal. Right? You can't lose it. The problem is that not everybody who claims or thinks that is saved is saved. That is the problem. It's a problem of definition. Okay? Anybody can come here and say, oh, I'm saved because I went to the front. So coming to the front is not being saved. Okay? You need to believe in your heart, in your mind, that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for you. Okay? And He came to life 3 days later, and that His blood was shed for you, for your salvation. And you need to trust that and nothing else. Okay? Tiene que estar claro con eso. It's not raising your hand or coming to the front. Eso puede ser parte de, pero eso no es lo que salva. No es llorar, porque uno llora cuando ve cualquier cosa. De momento uno ve una noticia triste, una esquela en el periódico, y uno le llora, y eso no quiere decir que no se salvó. Hay que tener mucho cuidado con las emociones también. Hey, ahora, si usted está convencido, usted creyó en Cristo, amén, que you're convinced, and you believe in Jesus for salvation, that is what we're talking about. Okay, now we go to John, chapter 10, verses 27-29, you recall that, okay? Eso lo hemos estudiado antes. Dice, mis ovejas oyen mi voz, y yo las conozco, dice Cristo, y me siguen y yo les doy vida eterna. ¿Qué vida es? Vida eterna. ¿Qué cualidades tiene la vida eterna? Pues pastor, ¿qué es eterna? Ajá, ¿y qué es eterna? Que no se acaba, hermano. Que no es que hoy sí, mañana no. Es eterna. ¿Qué? Dice, es que es tan sencillo que se escapa la gente. La dice, y no perecerán jamás. Once you're saved, you can't be lost. That's what it says here. Okay? Nadie las arrebatará. Nobody can take them away from my Father's hand. That's what it's saying. Okay? Nadie las arrebatará de mi mano. Mi Padre que me las dio es mayor que todo y nadie las puede arrebatar de la mano de mi Padre. There is no way you can become unsaved. That is what it's saying there. Okay? Y en Efesios 2:8-9, Ephesians 2:8-9, says, porque por gracia sois salvos. ¿Qué dice gracia? Que es completamente regalado de Dios. ¿Qué es gracia? Que Dios te lo regala y tú no puedes hacer nada por ello. Es que Dios te lo regala. No hay ninguna forma de pagarle ni decir, Dios me dio un God gave me a good deal. I made 25% of my salvation and He gave me the other 75%. It doesn't work that way, right? It's either He gives it to you 100% or nothing. Así es el Evangelio. Hay personas que tratan de hacer 50-50. And living a 50-50 life. In 50-50 life, his reality is 100% with the devil. Así que funciona. Y mucha gente se engaña con eso. Ese es el peligro de la vida cristiana, disque mundana o mundana cristiana, como lo quieran llamar. Hay que vivir santamente y convencido de que uno fue salvo por Cristo. ¿Ok? Solamente por Cristo. Dice, y esto no es de vosotros, pues seguro. Es de Dios. Es un regalo de Dios. Not by works. ¿Ok? I think it reads let someone boast, right? Dice aquí en Efesios. Para que nadie se gloríe, para que nadie se la eche de que yo me salvé a mí mismo. ¿Y tú? Eso es lo que está diciendo aquí. Por eso, that is why he's saying, better pay attention to the salvation Jesus is presenting to you. Por eso que está diciendo eso ahí. Es así que vemos entonces que esto no, el verso 3 no nos manda a mantener la salvación. What is he talking about? Está diciendo que hay que ser salvos por la fe. Él te está hablando no de mantener la salvación, sino de salvarte. Sálvate por la fe en Cristo Jesús. Es lo que está diciendo en el verso 3. Dice, ¿cómo escaparemos si pasamos de largo una salvación tan grande? Eso es lo que está. Acuérdense que descuidar es eso, pass by. How will you escape? This is my translation. If you pass by such a great salvation. Una pregunta retórica, rhetoric question. To which there is only one answer. He's not asking you, do you have a plan, an alternate plan? Do you have a plan B if you pass by this salvation? Eso no es lo que está preguntando, that's not the question. The question only has one answer. How will you escape? No way. There's no escape. Okay, eso es lo que está tratando de presentar aquí. Nada, no hay forma, ¿ok? Mire cómo dice Tito.
Okay. Titus 3:4-7.
Especialmente el verso 5 dice, nos salvó, dice, ¿verdad? He saved us. No por obras de justicia que nosotros hubiéramos hecho, sino por su misericordia. Nadie se puede salvar por ser bueno, hermano. ¿Ok? Y lo hizo a través del lavamiento, porque nosotros estamos sucios de pecado. Y porque nos renovó en el Espíritu Santo, el cual derramó en nosotros abundantemente por Jesucristo nuestro Salvador. Cuando usted es salvo por la fe en Cristo, el Espíritu Santo viene a su vida. Y Él le limpia. Inside and out. ¿Okay? Eso es lo que hace el Espíritu Santo. Dice, para que entonces justificados, o sea, hechos justos, perfectos, por su gracia, como decía Efesios, que es por gracia que somos salvos, viniésemos a ser herederos conforme a la esperanza de la vida eterna. Mantenga esto en mente, heredero, porque usted va a heredar, lo que quiere decir es que usted va a heredar junto con lo que Cristo va a heredar. Eso es un subión que usted dio ahí, si usted se da cuenta. Porque usted estaba, you were condemned to death, and now you will inherit along with Jesus. That is a big change right there. ¿Quién hizo eso? Jesús nada más, eso lo hace el Señor solamente. Importante, ¿ok? Mantengamos en mente. Así que no depende de que tú la mantengas. Quiero hacer énfasis porque cuando usted vaya a la calle, usted va a encontrar muchos amigos, mucha familia y mucha gente que le va a estar enseñando esto. Pero esto no es lo que la Biblia enseña. So that's why I'm making so much emphasis. Because this is a Puerto Rican thing that we need to clarify, ¿ok? When you go out there, you find a lot of people that actually tell you this, and it is wrong, ¿ok? Habiendo sido perfeccionado, vino a ser autor de eterna salvación para todos los que le obedecen. Eternal salvation. Hebrews 5, verse 9. We'll get to that in a few other Bible stories. About 2 weeks, ¿ok? Y en Isaías, ¿ok? Dice que si nosotros vamos a contar en nosotros, mira qué esperanza tenemos. Todos nosotros somos como suciedad. Y nuestra justicia es como trapo de inmundicia. ¿Sabes qué es el trapo de inmundicia? Antes no había papel de baño. There were no toilet paper before. So what they used was scrap piece of cloth to clean you up after you did what you needed to do. Right? So that cloth is what he's talking about here. Eso, así eras tú. You, what he's saying here, you think you're something. And you really are something. You are that piece of cloth after it's been used. That is what he's saying here. So lo que dice es, if you are trying to make a cost for yourself based on that you think that you're good and you are, you know, good to go for salvation by yourself, don't even start, is what he's saying. Okay? La gente tiene que entender esto. Okay? Hay personas que me dicen, después que uno se porte bien, okay? All you need to do is to behave. Be good. Okay? God is watching. Be good. That's what people say. Nobody talks about salvation by faith. Okay? Ese es el problema. Así que vamos a ir terminando en esta parte para ir a la próxima. Las obras son la evidencia de la salvación. Cuando tú haces obras, es evidenciando que tú eres salvo. No es que ellas producen la salvación, es al revés. You are saved for good works, not saved through good works, ¿ok? En Efesios 2:10 dice, porque somos hechura suya, creados en Cristo Jesús para, created for good works, not because of, ¿ok? Good works. Y esa obra la preparó Él de antemano para que tú, cuando te salves, las hicieras. Mira cómo era eso, el plan que Él tenía para ti. ¿Cómo es posible que Dios prepare algo de antemano para cuando tú te salves? Pues porque Dios se las sabe todas, las de antes y las de después, y las que van a pasar también. ¿Amén? Es lo importante aquí. ¿Cómo escaparán los que rechacen la salvación? He's talking about a warning, right? How will those that reject their salvation will escape? Okay? No way, okay? John 14:6. Yo soy el camino, okay? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? There is nothing else, nobody else, no other way, no other life, no other truth. Only me. That is what he's saying there, en ese verso. Amén. ¿Alguien levantó la mano aquí? A David, sí.
Ah, sí, David, sí, en un salmo. Sí. ¿A dónde escaparé de tu espíritu? Sí. Hiciere mi morada allá en lo último de la tierra, allí estás tú. Está en todos lados, ¿ok? Exactamente. Así que no hay forma de ir al Padre sino a través de Jesús. And if you recall John 3:17-18, okay, saying, porque Dios no envió a su Hijo al mundo para condenar al mundo. Eso no es lo que Dios quiere, sino para que el mundo sea salvo por Él.
No hay forma, hay que salvarse a través de Cristo, ese es el plan de Dios. El que en Él cree no es condenado, pero el que no cree ya ha sido condenado. Usted está en condenación si usted no ha creído en Cristo. You're condemned already if you haven't believed in Jesus. ¿Okay? Porque no ha creído en el nombre del unigénito Hijo de Dios. Importante. Eso viene después de Juan 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. Everybody, I mean most everybody, I think. Even the unsaved, I think they know it out of memory, right? But they forget about 17 and 18. There is no other way. There is no other way other than Jesus, okay? Importante. Summarizing this portion. Okay, hasta ahora hemos visto que se nos exhorta a atender con suma importancia la invitación de salvación que se nos hace por medio de Cristo. Amén. Eso es lo que hemos visto hasta estos primeros 4 versos. Y como dice Acts 4:12, dice, no, en ningún otro hay salvación. There is loosely translated, there is salvation in no other. No hay salvación en más ninguno. Porque no hay otro nombre bajo el cielo dado a los hombres en que podamos ser salvos. Es a través de Cristo Jesús. Amén. Vamos a hacer una pregunta para resumir esta porción. ¿Cuáles son los peligros que acabamos de ver aquí en el caminar por el camino de la salvación? Mira, ¿qué peligros hay en caminar el camino de la salvación? Vamos a decir así. ¿Qué peligros pueden haber en el que pretende caminar el camino de la salvación? You can sleep, right? Talking about sleeping. It's not talking about losing your salvation. It's warning about those that will start to consider, okay, the gospel, but wouldn't pay the necessary attention to it. Would there be many of them? Millions of people actually hear the gospel, but they don't pay attention to it. And if you recall the parable of the sower, okay, about the 4 types of soil, the first 3 kinds were not good. Recall those? Either the devil takes away the word, or because the toils and the the complications of daily life actually struggle that much that you begin to lose the intentions and you pay attention to other stuff. It begins to wipe out the work or the word of God. Y eso pasa mucho. You can sleep, you don't pay attention. Okay? ¿Por qué? Por lo que estábamos explicando, ¿verdad? ¿Qué es más sutil, el deslizamiento o el renunciar abruptamente a la fe? Eso se contesta solo, ¿verdad? Which is more subtle? Slowly slipping away or abruptly renouncing faith, right? It answers itself. It's you slowly slip away, okay? Now I ask, which is more dangerous? Both lead you to the same result. But I would say that slowly slipping away is more dangerous because you don't realize that you're slipping away. And I have an analogy. It's pretty dark, but I will tell it as soon as let me give some time to James. Uh-huh. Sí. Sí. Or not. There is no middle ground, exactly. Okay? Yeah, a good analogy could be one that is given to drinking, right? Drinking rum in Puerto Rico. Don't cook. They drink, don't cook, right? Now, in the place that you congregate, it used to be a bar, right? A lot of people were drinking don't cook there, right there, before you have the church there now. But before that, a lot of people were like, whoa, rum, a todo fuerte. Okay, rum. Now, the thing with rum is that you never realize you have a drinking problem. Okay? You drink, your wages away, and no, I don't have a problem, I'm fine. I'm tip-top. I don't have any issue. If other people have an issue, but I don't. And it's slipping away, okay, into the habit of drinking until it kills you. Same thing, I mean. And then you can play that analogy with drugs or any other habit, okay? It begins slowly eating away until there is nothing you can do about it because the damage is already done, okay? A lot of people reject salvation every single time. God is so merciful. It tells them about the gospel of salvation every single time, and every single time they reject it. Would there be a way to escape that? It gets to a point that you are hardened up about the gospel. And sometimes there are people that I know, they don't even want to hear anything about it. Would they be saved? No. They won't be saved if they don't confess Jesus as Savior, right? Por tanto, okay? Efecto de la negligencia. Pues usted no hace lo que tiene que hacer. Imagínese. Y la apatía. Apathy. I could care less about that. Let it be. Okay, if you let it be, it won't be you in eternal life. Ese es el problema de esto, okay? ¿Y qué castigo le espera a los que lo rechacen, la salvación? Pues está diciendo, verso 2, dice, si los que fallaron antes y no le hicieron caso, Dios los castigó, ¿a nosotros qué pasará? Si nos descuidamos en esa salvación. Por tanto, ¿ok? Así que vamos a ir, déjame ir adelante a esta parte importante que quería preguntar. Si usted se muere hoy, if you would die today, right now, you fall dead now. Let me ask you, can you fall dead now? Sí. 100% probability. If God decides, the one who keeps everything alive, loosely translated, por medio del cual todas las cosas subsisten.
Que nuestro Señor es.
If he decides you die today, you die today. Now, if you die today, where would you go? I see people pointing up. Are you sure? Are you sure? Do you have the smallest bit of doubt about it? Si usted tiene duda, ¿ok? Hay que estar claro. Hay dos sitios para ir. A la presencia de Dios o al infierno. No hay purgatorio. Búsquelo en la Biblia. No hay purgatorio. Y del infierno no se sale, ni del cielo tampoco. Estos son one-way streets. ¿A dónde usted va a ir si usted muere hoy? No hay second chance. Y se dice Hebreo más adelante, usted lo va a ver y dice, está escrito que los hombres mueran una sola vez y después de esto el juicio. A nada más. Mire como dice Romanos 10, 9 al 10. Dice que si confesares con tu boca que Jesús es el Señor, ¿right? Y creyeres en tu corazón que Dios le levantó a los muertos, serás salvo. Porque con el corazón se cree para justicia, pero con la boca se confiesa para salvación. ¿Dónde entran las obras ahí?
Hola.
Tienes que confesar con tu boca, la boca, que Jesús es el Señor y creyeres en tu corazón que Dios le levantó de los muertos, serás santo. Eso, pastor. Pero es confesarlo con tu boca, lo dice ahí literalmente, y creyerlo en tu corazón que Dios lo hizo y que Él es el Hijo de Dios. Serás salvo. Amén. Es de importancia. Asegúrate de que hoy, cuando hagamos la oración final, tú eres salvo. Importante. Vamos a la otra porción. And I am sure that we will run out of time. So if we run out of time, which we will, okay? Some of the portions we will continue next week, okay? The Bible study next week, I also have that too, okay? So we'll just combine it, okay? The next one is actually shorter, because it's actually comparing Jesus with Moses, as if there were comparison between Jesus and Moses. But for the Jews, it was a very important point to make, because for the Jews, Moses, wow, Moses, man, you're talking about Moses. Moses is everything. Moses is huge. And now you're trying to compare Moses with this new Jesus. For them, there was no comparison. But it was because they didn't understand. So that is the point that will be made in chapter 3, right? 3 and 4. And it will be a shorter Bible story, so as I'm sure we'll run out of time. I will be summarizing pretty quickly, and then we'll continue next week, okay? Así que mire, el autor de la salvación, now he's, after he's made the point that this is what I need you to pay close attention to, okay, because there is a great consequence if you let it slip by, okay, and now he's talking about Jesus, which is the author or the creator of the salvation, okay, bien importante, ahora, now, he's actually beginning to expand the point, okay, from verse 5 through 10. Okay, yo quiero que alguien lo lea bien fuerte. David, léelo ahí bien duro. Sí, 5.
Porque no se los ángeles, el mundo de dinero acerca de cuál estamos hablando. Pero algo específico en este lugar es que, ¿qué hace el hombre para que recuerde ser el hijo del hombre para que vea en ti? Y existe el grupo menor que los ángeles, le coronaste del nombre y de honra, y le pusiste sobre las obras de tus manos. Todos los hombres lanzan bajo sus pies, porque en cuanto le sobre todas las cosas, nada de bueno que los ángeles lo hagan. Pero todavía no vemos que todas las cosas le sean su vez. Pero vemos a aquel que fue hecho un poco menor que los ángeles, a Jesús, coronado del nombre y de honra, que no se ha recibido toda la muerte, para que con la gracia de Dios quitase la muerte por todos. Como convenía a aquel, porque ya causa con todas las cosas, porque con todas las cosas subsisten, que aún no lleva el mundo mismo a la gloria, porque se hace con las funciones, a la verdad son las primeras.
There are so many points in these six verses, okay, that this section is the most extensive of the whole Bible story. I will only cover maybe two or three points and then adjourn until next week, okay? Because we need to take some time to go over this. This is a theology class in six verses that is being given here, okay? And it's very important. Because even though you're not Jew, you need to understand this, okay? Because it answers all the questions and all the misconceptions people have about Jesus, okay? We need to make sure that we give the necessary time to that. So I will only cover one or two and then continue next week. Okay, now the author is actually explaining to us which is the basis of that great salvation. of that salvation he was talking about. And he's talking about Jesus, who humbled himself and made himself and took the form of a man, right? And he was made less than the angels, okay? Hizo menor que los ángeles. But even though he was made to be less than the angels, God subjected everything under his domain. You see? He was a man, the son of God, y Dios puso todo debajo de él. ¿Qué quiere decir debajo de él? Que él es el que reparte para todo, que él es el que manda, en palabras de nosotros. ¿Okay? ¿Quién es el que reparte? Jesús. Porque lo vamos a ver aquí, Dios lo puso ahí, usted lo acaba de leer. ¿Okay? Y now the author of the letter will also explain to us that all this, God taking the form of man and humbling himself to the lowest point, even to death and humiliation, all that was needed for our salvation. Okay? Why is it that he is taking this trouble of explaining this? Because for the Jews, the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One, wasn't supposed to die, or wasn't supposed to be humiliated. He was actually supposed to be otherwise. He was supposed to be, for them, okay, physically, victorious, and actually ever-powerful and all-powerful and not humble. And certainly, he wouldn't have the slightest hint of weakness. And that is in complete opposite to what actually Jesus came out to be. And God had a purpose for that. Okay? They needed to understand why was it that God wanted to do things that way, which was different to the way they were thinking. But is that new? How many things God does that they came out, or they come out actually to be different from what you were thinking before? Okay, first one. Did you know you were going to be saved once? Or let me put it that way. Did you know you were lost? How did you come to know that you were lost? Because God told you so. Because he was merciful enough to let you know about that. Okay. Now, how did you get saved? Through Jesus, right? And how do you know you're saved? Through the Holy Spirit. And you confirm it through the scriptures, right? Because they tell you so. Okay? Everything is due to the mercy of God. Everything, everything. There's no other way around. He's about to explain that to them. Okay? It was not because he was ever so powerful. That too. But he wasn't showing that he was all that powerful. He needed to be humble first. For a very good reason that we will explain in these verses, okay? We will get to that point today. We will do that, God willing, next week, okay? And the way I will do it is I will go piece by piece, okay? The first piece, verse 5, porque no sujetó a los ángeles el mundo venidero. He was talking about the angels giving the law, right? And now he's talking about that the future, the eternal life, isn't subjected to angels. Meaning that the angels were not the ones talking about eternal life. The actual life was the one that the angels talked about. Okay? Y aquí lo vemos, miren. El mundo actual, lo de hoy, se lo sujetó a los ángeles. Okay? He gave it not as the angels as owners, but actually the angels as the messengers. Okay, about everything that had to do with this world. Okay, and you can read about that throughout the Old Testament. Okay, in Daniel. Okay, in the natural elements. Okay, and even individuals. Okay, a los ángeles. Venía a traerle ese mensaje hasta un punto dado. Okay, now he's saying that even though the message was being brought out by angels, now Jesus was less than the angels. And they will start saying, how come? How would you want me to believe in someone's message when you're telling me that he's even lower than the angels? What kind of message is that? Okay? So for the Jews, that would be a great point. Okay? And that is the point he's trying to make here. He hasn't finished. Okay? But he's saying that to the angels was given the task of messaging between God and the world as we know it. Okay, that is what he's saying there. Okay? And then he says, a little bit further, in verse 7, lo coronaste de gloria y de honra. Está hablando de Jesús. Dice, a Jesús lo hicimos bien abajo. Okay? Menor que los ángeles, pero lo coronaste de gloria y de honra. Dice, pero si es menor que los ángeles. Less than angels, now he was crowned. Okay? In all glory and honor. How come? How is that possible? How can one someone be so low and at the same time be so high? Okay? And he's explaining about Jesus himself. Okay? Because in the Bible we read about Jesus, about his ministry. And to everyone in natural eyes, he was a man. Un hombre como cualquier otro. But he was also the Son of God. He was God himself, right? So people were seeing a man physically, but that man was God. So that is the point he's explaining here. To the Jews, there was no way that somebody could be God and man at the same time. They didn't understand that, because God was holy and the man was not. So how come it could be both things at the same time? You can be holy and unholy at the same time. Pero en Jesús, and that is what is called a mystery, because it's something that you do not completely understand. You can think, you can explain, but only to a point. And there is one of the things that we'll get to know clearly when we are up there with him. Okay? Pero en Jesús estaba toda la divinidad y toda la humanidad. All the divine and everything human in the same place. Y eso es lo que está explicando aquí. ¿Okay? A través de Cristo Jesús. ¿Por qué Cristo se tuvo, que era Dios, por qué se tuvo que humillar? Why did he have to humiliate himself? But you said it first. So to be an example, but it goes beyond that. Why? Huh? To save us. To save us through what? In what way he humiliated himself? Because a lot of people think, oh, being a man was humiliation enough. But it was even lower than that. What was the humiliation that he had to be put through? He humbled himself even unto death, right? It says so where? Where is it? Philippians chapter 2. You recall that? Él se humilló hasta lo sumo. Y se hizo obediente hasta la muerte. So he needed to be a man to die. And he needed to be a God so that his death would mean something and would do the work of salvation he needed to be done. He needed to be two things at the same time. And I know a lot of people could spend a month explaining that. And it would be a good month, okay, about that. Okay, porque es tan abundante eso, pero si usted lo resume, tuvo que ser hombre para morir, pero tuvo que ser Dios para que su muerte sirviera. And Paul makes the same argument. He's talking about, okay, in Ephesians. Okay, if we go there, and we'll just stop right there. No, estoy perdiendo, creo que era... Donde dice, puede ser... Romans 5. Ahora sí. Y con eso vamos a resumir hoy. Romanos 5. Romans 5. Okay? If you read in chapter 5, Now you go to verse 7. Verso 7 dice, y ciertamente, verse 7 dice, ciertamente apenas morirá alguno por un justo, con todo pudiera ser que alguno osara morir por el bueno. Pero mire el 8, dice, mas Dios muestra su amor para con nosotros. Verso 8 de Romanos 5. En que siendo aún pecadores, Cristo murió por nosotros. ¿Vio? That is why he needed to humiliate himself. Okay, if, the point Paul is trying to make here is, if he himself, Paul, would have been good enough to die on behalf of someone else, what would have accomplished? Nothing. Why? Because for as good as Paul could be, he was only a man. Right? It would be a good deed. He would be in every newspaper. But it wouldn't do anything salvation-wise for that other folk that he died for. Now, Jesus did the same for everybody. The difference is that Jesus didn't have anything. He was completely clean. He was completely innocent. But that was not all. He was the Son of God. So it took God to create everyone, and it took God to redeem everyone, to save everyone. And that is the point that the writer of Hebrews, in verse 5 through 7, chapter 2, is trying to make. See.
En Mateo 20:21, puede hacer mucho más, pero que la persona espera que dice, como el Hijo del Hombre no vino para ser servido, sino para servir y para dar su vida en verdad.
Por muchos.
Dentro de muchas personas se resisten a entender. Me parece que no tiene a otros deberes, tratando
de explicar
la salvación, se nos escapa de las manos porque no estamos dispuestos a cometerlo para poder entender.
Exacto. Exacto. He was reading out of Matthew 20:28. Okay? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. ¿Eh? Importante. Exactamente, él dice, cuando dice Hijo del Hombre, o sea, fue Dios hombre. Y dio su vida, y por eso fue que fue efectiva su muerte. Usted lo entiende ahora bien claro, pero los judíos de aquel tiempo, ellos tenían un conflicto mental. The Jews of that time, they had a problem with that. And you can say the Jews of today too. They still have a problem with that. 2,000 years afterwards, they still have a problem. Okay? But God has a plan for them. And it's not going to be any different from the plan He has for you, for salvation, okay? But they will be at a point where the veil will be lifted. And they will get a chance, okay, high and wide, okay, to know about salvation, actually preach, okay, during the tribulation, okay, and we have studied that. En la tribulación, los judíos, cuando la iglesia se vaya, when the church goes away, who would be left to preach? The Jews mostly, okay? You read that version, you know, correctly and, you know, step by step, you will realize, oh, that's the plan, yes. All those 144,000 signs, all those are going to be doing something. What are they going to be doing? Oh, preaching about Jesus. First thing they will ever do that. The Jews preaching Jesus high and wide. Pero eso no va a ser ahora, eso va a ser en el futuro. Okay? Ahora bien, vamos a resumirlo aquí. Stop right here, and we will continue right where we left it today. Okay, from verse 7 and on. And at the same time, we will also complete the next study, which is going to be in, let me skip here. Mira al final. Okay. Ahora, quería enseñar esta porción aquí. Ah, I'm sorry. Another one. I missed it. And push forward. technology, sometimes it doesn't work. Hey, that one? It's not Lexus, it's Jesus. Okay? The absolute expression of perfection. Okay? You recall that? Ah, tú lo pusiste allí. En Hebreos 7:28 dice, porque la ley constituye sumos sacerdotes a débiles hombres, pero la palabra del juramento posterior a la ley al Hijo, hecho perfecto para siempre. Por eso es que antes, a través de la ley, before, in the old dispensation of the law, it was imperfect. And the sacrifices had to be made continuously, every day, every week, okay, every month. But now through Jesus, okay, the perfect ministry and the perfect priesthood, okay, it's once and for all, okay? Because it's not depending on man. It was actually God that made it right this time, okay? Así que, la semana que viene, next week, we'll complete this, and we'll go to chapter 3 and 4, okay? Y el tema es Jesús superior a Moisés, Jesus superior to Moses. But you know that already, right? Now, but the Jews do not necessarily know that. Now, in terms of the illustration here, what is trying to show here? The transfiguration, right? Jesus and Moses and Elijah, or Elijah or Moses, we don't know which is which, but one of them is Moses and Elijah. Okay, and this has a lot of meaning to it, because them that witnessed this were actually seeing Jesus and seeing Moses, the law, okay, under Jesus, and seeing the prophets under Jesus. Okay? And for them, Jewish men, it was a revelation. Okay? And it was also a revelation to us, because it's registered in the scriptures for our blessing too. Okay? So we'll refer to that miracle when we talk about chapter 3 and 4. Okay? And then complete chapter 2, like we said. Okay? Questions so far? Okay? So we'll ask a lot more questions when we'll come back next week, okay? Because there are a lot of questions that we didn't address today. ¿Está bien? Questions up to this point? ¿Preguntas? ¿Dudas? ¿Confusiones? ¿Confusion? ¿Doubt? ¿No? Tengo que hacer una pregunta. ¿Usted está seguro de que está salvo hoy? ¿Está seguro? Yo quiero que oremos ahora. Vamos a orar. Let's pray. And I will give you a chance to consider that again. And if you need to be saved, please let me know and we will pray for you right away. And you will pray for your salvation too. Okay, vamos a asegurarnos de eso. Amén. Para eso fue que vino Cristo. Para que todos pudiéramos ser salvos. Okay, vamos a orar en esta hora. Let's pray. Padre Santo, Señor, en esta hora tu pueblo te da gracias y te bendice, Señor, por tu bendición y por tus cuidados y misericordias y por habernos dado ahora, Señor, esta oportunidad de poder estudiar tu santa palabra. Bendícela, Señor, y permite, Padre Santo, que en esta hora tú, Señor, la hagas reverdecer en nuestro corazón. Gracias, mi Señor, por este privilegio. Te pedimos ahora, Señor, que tu santa palabra, que nos convence de pecado, Señor, nos convenza si en nosotros hubiera la necesidad de salvación, si en alguno de nosotros tuviera la necesidad de salvación. Señor, en esta hora estamos intercediendo en pro de cualquiera que tuviera esa duda en su corazón, que necesite ser salvo. Yo quiero hacer esa invitación ahora, hablándonos a nosotros que estamos aquí. ¿Habrá alguien que necesite recibir a Cristo Jesús como Salvador? ¿Alguien que quiera recibir a Cristo Jesús como Salvador? Que diga, bueno, sí, yo he sabido mucho hace tiempo de este Evangelio, pero me he dado cuenta que no he hecho una decisión por Cristo. Que no solamente es saber de Cristo, que no solamente es oír de Cristo, que no solamente es tratar de imitar a Cristo, es creer y confesar a Cristo como Salvador, como usted lo vio en la palabra en Romanos 10:9-10. ¿Alguien que necesita hacer esa decisión por Cristo hoy? esa decisión de salvación, para entonces empezar a caminar el camino de salvación. Una vez uno es salvo, entonces empieza a agradar a Dios. Y entonces empieza a considerar en qué forma uno va a servirle a Dios. Pero antes de eso, hay que asegurar que uno está salvo. Alguien que necesite esa oración de salvación ahora. Gloria sea al Señor. Padre Santo, te damos gracias por tu bendición. Y también ahora te pedimos que esta palabra en nuestro corazón nos permita, oh Padre Santo, ser mejores hijos tuyos, Señor, mejores siervos, y que nos permita comprender a cabalidad la grandeza de tu evangelio, la grandeza, Señor, de la salvación por Cristo, y el lugar en el cual tú nos tienes debido a habernos salvado por la sangre de Cristo. Gracias, Señor, por esa bendición. Permítenos, Señor, ahora que al salir tú nos lleves con bien a nuestras casas y nos permitas descansar. Y mañana es tu voluntad que amanezcamos con vida, Señor. Llévanos, Padre Santo, a lo que tengamos que hacer, Señor, a los que estamos obrando aquí en la Escuela Bíblica de Vacaciones. Tráenos con bien, a los que vayan al trabajo temprano también. Y bendícenos, Señor, a través del día de mañana. Oh, Padre Santo, we ask that you bless Brother Motley and his family also. We thank you for the honor of having him with us today. And we ask you that you bless him and that you take care of him throughout the road to Añasco, and that they may have a pleasant night's sleep, okay, and that they have a good day tomorrow too as well, and that we can see them soon enough and they be with us to have joy between ourselves and to be together with his brothers and sisters and brethren here in Aguadilla as well. We thank you for that, and we ask you that you bless us. En el nombre de Jesús, amén. Que Dios me les bendiga mucho y que vayan bien. Gloria a Dios. Vayan por ahí. Adiós.